All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, Skyline Studio here on Wacker here. It was very difficult to get here. Pain in the neck to get here. The Michigan Avenue Bridge is out, all that stuff. It's out till 5 a.m. Nightmare. But we're here, and we're having a good time. And it's Friday morning. That means all the regular Friday features will happen. It's straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy. And, of course, Fly Jams Friday. That's coming up. And we're going to talk about Vulture.com put together. They actually ranked every HBO TV show of all time. And if The Wire's not on top, I would be very angry. So we're going to get to that in a little bit. But I want to bring in now, representing Red Orchid Theater, we have where they're performing Killing Game by Eugene Ionesco. Is it Ionesco or Ionesco?
It's Ionesco.
It's Ionesco. I've heard it pronounced the other way too, Ionesco.
Yeah.
But I always say Ionesco. I wanted to make sure I was right. But anyway, Killing Game is being performed Thursday through Saturdays at 7:30. Saturdays and Sundays at 3 as well. And it's at the Red Orchid Theater in Old Town as we are talking. And I want to bring in the two of the cast members and the director of the show. First, let's say hello to Dato. Dato, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
Been
too.
A long time since
yeah,
I've
long
seen you.
Time.
Yeah, I've been out of the theater game for a little while now.
Yeah.
But it's good to see you.
Yeah.
And Sherman Edwards.
That's me.
Yeah, you're in the show.
I am.
Great. It's nice to meet you.
Huh? Yeah.
I don't know you. I know the two ladies who are in the room, but
yeah,
I don't know you.
We're going to figure this out.
Yeah. Well, but we're going to be best friends by the end of this interview.
I hope so.
I'll tell you. And then on Jill Oliver.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
It's good to see you. Jill is a member of the Factory Theater. She brought her factory hat. That's my old company. I used to AD that company for years and directed a bunch of shows there and acted in a bunch of shows.
Yeah,
the factory.
They're amazing.
And
yeah.
They're still going strong. I'm so proud of that.
They are. I actually just went emeritus, but as you can see, I'm
still
a brand ambassador with my Factory Theater
I'm
hat.
Trying so hard to remember my favorite play that you guys did that had all the people in it.
Everybody was drinking beer. And I think
White Trash Wedding and a Funeral.
Yes!
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Yeah. That show ran for almost 3.5 years.
And then was remounted.
And it was remounted during the 20th anniversary season at the Factory Theater.
A lot of beer.
Yeah. I directed that show. I was in it too for a long time.
You were good.
Uh-huh. And the other show that I directed that lasted a long time was a play called Alive.
I saw that.
Yeah. With me and Steve Walker.
It was kind of scary.
No, it was just six guys drinking.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I was scared.
Did you see Among the Dead? Is that
maybe
what
maybe I Among saw
the Dead?
Among
That's
the
a
dead.
Zombie play that we
yes,
did. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's a blur, Nick.
It all is. And so, welcome you guys. And you came in fresh from a performance last night.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm going to say last night.
Yep. Sorry, I just forgot.
You know, that's okay. So, how did it go?
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had.
Oh,
a good
so
house.
Good.
Yeah.
It was so good.
You had a nice house.
Great houses.
Very cool. It's going well then.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste. It's absurdism.
Yeah, it's definitely not a show for everybody, and that's pretty much what all the reviews have been saying. Which I can't argue with
it's
that.
It's called Killing Game.
Yeah, Killing Game. Ionesco.
Everybody dies. That's not a spoiler. It's
My
pretty
parents
obvious.
Loved it,
did
and
they?
I think that says a lot. Because at first I was like, I don't know, Mom, you might know.
I was in two Ionesco shows with the Hypocrites.
Oh,
I,
were they?
I did,
yeah.
I did Rhinoceros.
Oh, yeah.
And Jack or the Submission, which is one of the weirdest, craziest plays that I've ever been a part of.
That is a weird one.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Who directed that?
Graney, Sean Graney.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, people really seem to be liking this, though. It's quite funny.
A lot of his plays are funny. They're weird.
We just didn't know it was funny because all we do is die and die and die and die.
Nonstop.
But then people start coming to the previews and they're like, oh, we're laughing at us. And we're like, okay.
Isn't it funny when you get laughs where you don't know you're going to get laughs?
Yes.
It's always weird. It's always weird because like you never know like what the audience is going to laugh at because sometimes you think, oh, this line's going to kill. And it doesn't.
Nope.
Right.
And then something you don't think is funny, they fall out of their chairs laughing. It's a hard thing. Dato, let's get some background on you. Where are you from?
I'm from Whiting, Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
And my dad listens to your show.
Oh, he does. Well, hello.
He thinks I'm so exciting because I know you.
Oh.
Now, I know.
Did so you tell funny. Him how disappointing that is? Well, that's cool. So what brought you to Chicago?
Oh, and I just work here. I mean, I live right on the border of Indiana and Illinois. I get here in 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
I get here faster than
20
you.
Minutes?
I get here so fast.
It took me 9 hours to get here.
It's amazing how fast I get.
I live in Chicago and it takes me longer.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a little secret.
And so when did you get into theater? Was it always something that you wanted to do?
I just started. Theater, I didn't know I was going to be a director. I'm a trained actor. So I didn't really understand a lot of how my function
as a director.
And I'm a visual artist, too. And I think that's something that I had to kind of come to understand later in my path, that it's all sort of like a big mush.
Okay.
You know, I don't really have a preference. I don't like one over the other.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, I prefer directing.
Do you?
Yeah.
No, I like it all. Actors are in charge.
Yeah. Not when I'm directing.
No, but when the show opens,
you got to let it go.
You just can't.
Yeah.
You got to let it go. And if you're on the stage and your show is going badly, the actors can say, but you just can't do anything.
No, you just sit there and go, ugh! Yeah,
it's awful.
So, how long have you been with Red Orchid?
It's sort of a mystery when I actually joined up with that ensemble, because I was over at Mariachi for a long time, and then I was at European Rep.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand how I came. It was sort of osmosis over to a Red Orchid. But it was mostly in the function of a director. And then now, in the last few years, I've been acting over there, too, a little bit.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Yeah. God bless Rich Kotowski. You mentioned Mariachi. Yeah. I miss that place.
I know.
It was a great place.
It was.
So, well, that's cool. And how long has Red Orchid been around?
This was our 26th season.
26th season?
Yeah, many years. Yeah.
Always in the same.
Yeah, always in the same spot on North Wells. Yeah. Yep, right at North and Wells, right kitty corner from Second City. That's us. This tiny little theater. It's 9 feet tall. We got 70 little seats in there. It's like sitting in a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
With a bunch of people.
It is, because a lot of the material that you guys choose to do is pressure cooker kind of material, right?
That's what this is. Yeah. And I got 13 actors, and they're all like little pressure cookers themselves.
Yeah.
And so you're in a hot seat with them.
That's if you see a show at Red Orchid, and I suggest you do, because it's one of the best theater companies in the city. The space is it's very intimate.
It is.
And I remember when I saw Bug, I almost had a heart attack. Because that's a reasonably intense show.
Yeah.
And if if Michael Shannon is 2 feet away from me, that's intense as well. So, it's a great company.
He is 2 feet away from you in this show, too, by the way.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, it's a little
on screen.
A little bit. Yeah, he delivers a lot of text for us via video.
That's great.
We filmed him.
I love that, that he's like an Academy Award nominated big time actor. And he still comes back and does stuff with you guys.
So he loves Ionesco. He loves Eugene Ionesco. Yeah. And he was crushed he couldn't be in this play. And so he's just really, we worked it out, and I got some great footage of him, and he's in it.
So he's in it. That's great. Michael Shannon, by the way, is a great Chicago actor who has gone on to star in so many movies.
He opened Frankie and Johnny tonight on Broadway.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Oh, good
yesterday.
For him.
Yesterday.
Yeah, oh,
yesterday.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Nice catch.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's really cool. Sherman, tell me about yourself, man. Where are you from?
I'm from Hampton, Virginia.
Okay.
It's near North Carolina, and that's where I studied theater in college and stuff. And then eventually I moved to Chicago to pursue more like comedy stuff. I knew Second City was here and things like that, and I knew theater was here, so I just tried to dabble in all of it.
Yeah.
And then...
How long have you been in the city?
I've been here since 2005.
Oh, that's cool. It's a nice length of time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you worked with a lot of companies?
Yeah, a lot of companies. I understudied at Second City for a little bit, and then I did some other shows, and then I worked with Mission Improvable, and I got to travel and do some improv shows. Just a lot of
Can
improv
I ask
shows.
Sherman a question?
Yeah. Of course you can.
Sherman, why are you in Killing Game? Because you're so funny, and you do all this improv and all this traveling. I just need to know.
Why am I in it? Because you cast me.
What made you want to do it?
Well, I haven't done like theater in a while, but I wanted to get back into it. My fiance, I'm getting married next month, Brittany Birch. I love you, babe. But she does theater, and so like I was watching her do theater, and I was
and you were the, like, I gotta do this.
I was getting the acting bug again. Yeah. I was like, oh, maybe I'll audition for some plays, yeah. And then
and you got it. You got it. All right, hang on a second, okay? You guys, we got to take a break here, and we'll talk more with Jill Oliver, Sherman Edwards, and Dado from the Red Orchid Theater. Killing Game by Eugenie Ionesco runs through June 23rd, Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30, and Saturday and Sunday you got matinees at 3 o'clock. And we'll talk more about the play and more about these guys right after we take a break here on WGN for the news. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we're here till 5 a.m. Friday, all the regular Friday features, Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up, and we're going to talk about all the HBO TV shows ranked. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and on Facebook at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Currently playing at the Red Orchid Theater is a play called Killing Game by Eugenie Ionesco, and it runs through June 23rd. Tickets are available at aredorchidtheater.org. And two cast members and the director of the show are in the studio with me, and we want to welcome them back. Dado, we have Sherman Edwards, and we have Jill Oliver.
Hey,
hi, guys. Yeah. Welcome back. So, Sherman, we were just getting to know you.
Mm-hmm.
You did the comedy stuff. Did you did some Second City and all that stuff, and then decided to do some straight plays.
Yep, exactly. Yep, now I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing it.
You're doing it.
Yeah, it's fun. And I like it. It's such a different schedule because I'm used to improv and stand-up where I can just go and do the show and then I'm done with it. But like now it's like, oh, like the rehearsal process is one thing and now you're doing the show. And
yeah.
It's quite a commitment.
Now you're doing the show and then you drink afterwards. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta schedule all that in.
You gotta schedule all that in.
I got some apps.
Yeah.
I got some scheduling apps.
Okay.
So it helps.
All right, Jill, I know you, but let's have the audience get to know you. Where are you from and all that?
I grew up in Palos Park, mm-hmm. so Southwest Burb, and I went to school at Columbia College Chicago, and actually one of the artistic directors, Kirsten Fitzgerald, was my scene study teacher in college.
Oh, that's neat.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then and when you got out of college, you just started auditioning and all that stuff?
Yeah. I also studied abroad in Ireland for a semester, which was great. And then I got back and I just started auditioning and, honestly, like playing softball for the Chicago Theater Softball League was a great way to make connections.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, it's super fun.
Yeah.
Except I have some, messed up looking fingers now, just like my dad.
Yeah.
And I've been doing mostly theater.
What was your first show at the Factory?
Hate Dancin'. It was an 80s dance, cable access television dance show.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so much fun at that audition because I had to dance.
Yeah. Hey Dancin'. Were you in the musical version of it?
No. But I thoroughly enjoyed that music.
I did too. Laura McKenzie.
Laura McKenzie is a god.
Yes, she is. She's a rock star. And so what was your first role? Not at the Factory, but what was the first thing you did?
Oh God, I think it was Boy's Life.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the name of my role. I can't even tell you. I don't know. It was so long ago.
What company was it?
It doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, okay.
I don't even remember the name. Think I have it on my resume anymore because it's not a company.
It's not even
Hangar 9.
Hangar 9.
That's it.
No, I've never heard of them.
Right. Well, they weren't around long.
But now tell me a little bit about studying in Ireland. Where in Ireland?
Dublin Institute of Technology's Theater
God's
Conservatory.
That's...
Which, by the way, if anyone watches Outlander, the lead actress on that went there. Not when I was there, though. But she went to the same school.
Yeah.
And that's when Obama won. I was there when Obama won the first time.
So, 2008, you were in Ireland.
Yes. And the headlines, I was just so proud to be an American when I was there. The headline was Obama fixing his cuff link. And it said, America just got a little cool again. Oh, my God.
I remember those days. Anyway, so you've been acting for a while now.
Yeah.
And what was your, you're emeritus at the Factory. What else have you been working on?
Well, I'm getting into writing more now. I've also worked with our artistic home. I worked with Dado before at a Red Orchid as with an what's it called?
Incubator.
An incubator, which is not a main stage. Mm-hmm. But I'm incredibly happy to get back in there with them because, like you said earlier, I think they do the best work in Chicago.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing company. Absolutely.
So I'm very grateful to be there. And I'm writing right now. I wrote a play for Factory last summer, and now I'm switching my focus to writing for screen.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the play you wrote for the Factory? Remind me.
The Adventures of Spirit Force 5.
Oh, right.
Which was about cheerleaders who get sucked through a dumpster into the parallel universe of Lej, where they have to destroy the evil spirit stick in order to save Lame Town, Lej, and the world.
Right. Oh, that old story.
Yeah.
That old cliche.
Is there basically a sequel? I took my high school life and I wrote a play about it. Cheerleaders meets Lord of the Rings. If they had a baby, that was the play.
That's nice. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You'll write what you know.
Right.
That's an old saying right there. Dado, tell me a little bit. She's talking about Incubator. Tell me a little bit about, you guys offer classes and all kinds of stuff at Red Orchid.
Red Orchid has this little experimental finger, and we call it the Incubator, and we take things that are maybe a little bit more rough or new ideas that aren't necessarily part of the Red Orchid season, and then we incubate them, and then we do them for the public. So what Jill was in the first one we did, and it was so exciting because we took this Harold Pinter play. And it was actually a teleplay, and we cast a whole bunch of people in it. Jill was one of them, and we added a lot of dancing because Jill's a very good dancer. and then we I don't know what you call it, but we like really messed around with it a lot and
experimented
with it. And I thought in my best world, like, who would I want to play this lead actor's mother? And it wasn't a woman, it was a man. And we just did it, and it went really well. We were all so scared when people came in, and then it was just everybody
well received.
Yeah. It was very well received, and it taught me a lot about absurdism and Harold Pinter and trying things that you wouldn't try maybe normally, and then it just kind of took off from there.
Yeah. Okay. And what are the other classes that are offered at Red?
Well, right now we're launching. I'm going to do a scene study this summer. Shade Murray is going to do his salon, which is about process. I think you have to have taken part one of that class if you're going to take this part this summer. And then Kirsten Fitzgerald, our artistic director, is going to do a audition experience course.
Okay. Cool.
So we got a big menu.
And that's all available at the website, right, if you want to get information
on
that stuff?
It is, and we have not announced our season yet.
Oh,
okay. For 2019-2020. We haven't yet.
This is your last show of the season, then?
Yes.
All right, let me ask you this. As the director and as the actors, I want to ask you this, because I've done Ionesco, and it's a challenging thing. And as a director, how do you approach the material?
I love absurdism. I don't really understand why we're in a realism anyway. Like, it seems really weird to me. So,
knowing you, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm okay with it, but I had felt really strong feelings about this particular piece because everyone calls it a play, but it's really 17 scenes. It's like little 17 little sketches, now 18, because we actually uncovered a scene that was left out of the English translation. We had DePaul do a version for us from the French, and they found a scene that was never moved into English.
A cannibal scene.
A cannibal scene?
It's so good.
Never been seen before yet in the United States.
So you guys are doing this this first scene of Ionesco for the first time ever in the United States.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When was it discovered?
In March.
Just a couple of months ago?
We all crapped our pants.
For some reason, all the other translations just skipped that section.
And they also took out all of the curse words.
Yeah.
So because the original script that we had, there were no curse words and there was no cannibal scene. And then once you had the French script sent over to DePaul, to the French department, for them to translate it for us, they were like, oh, here are all these curse words as well that were removed for some reason, and an entire scene about cannibalism.
Which provides the arc of the 17 sketches. So now it's 18 sketches.
Why would it be? I don't understand why it would.
I don't know why.
Because the Americans were prude.
The professor, Clara Orban at DePaul, she said something like, well, they were very conservative in the 70s academically. And I don't really know what to make of that. I was very small. So I have no idea what she means.
Conservative in the 70s doesn't seem to go together.
With me either. So no. I don't know what. But there's something about academia,
cannibalism
in Europe and in America, and that and it was the, it was extracted, and our translation that we got the rights for is by Helen Gary Bishop, but we supplanted this.
Yeah. Scene. That's fascinating.
How can we be a red orchid and not do that's cannibal scene?
That's very true. That's very true. So, is this your first time directing UNESCO?
No.
Oh, what else have you? What other ones have you directed?
I did Bald Soprano many years ago.
Oh, sure.
In Los Angeles, but it was some kind of Herculean feat where I had 48 hours to direct four actors. I don't know. It was some insane project I did. But whoa, the lights just went out over there. Wow. But the whole building. But anyway,
it's distracting being on the 18th floor with all.
I'm very interested in plays that are not the great plays of the author. So
yeah.
I'm not going to do Streetcar Named Desire. I'm going to do The Mutilated.
Yeah, okay.
I like finding the plays of the great writers that are not the ones everyone knows.
Dato likes to fix things.
Wow. I don't know if fix is the right word.
You know, that's
like to find like to mess around. Chaotic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. You know, I love that you want to do like the lesser known stuff. Mm-hmm. I directed Mammoth one time and it was Lake Boat.
Yes.
That was
Stephen Walker in it.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. I've directed Steve in like a bunch of shows, and I've been in Steve. But yeah, no, it was quite a challenge. That was a tough play. That was a real tough play. But not a lot of people knew it, which is why our houses were kind of small. But yeah, not a lot of people knew it, and I think that's cool. That's a cool thing to.
Well, I don't really know why a play has to be so perfect.
Yeah,
like life is not perfect.
Yeah, it's true. Mm. Got it. All right, let's take a break on that note.
Okay,
and we'll find out who blew the fuse across the street.
It was the whole building.
All right, the alien invasion. Oh, Godzilla opens today, so maybe it was Godzilla. Oh. Yeah. Okay. But by the way, yes, we're a couple of dorks. Tom and I are both wearing Godzilla t-shirts.
Oh, nice.
Godzilla opens today, and we couldn't be more excited. So, all right, we're going to take a break. Dato Jalalver and Sherman Edwards from Red Orchid Theater's production of Killing Game by Eugene Ionesco are here in studio, and we're going to come back and talk more right after this on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we're here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. All the regular Friday features are going to happen as well. In studio with me right now, from a Red Orchid Theater's production of Killing Game, is director Dato Jalalver and Sherman Edwards, and we welcome you guys back to the show. Okay. Sherman, tell me about your role in Killing Game, if you can adequately describe it.
We all play multiple parts, but I guess if I had to like pick one role to talk about, there's like a prison scene, and I play like a jailer, what can I say about this show? There's a lot of death. There's like a plague.
Uh-huh.
And I think the jail, I enjoy the way the jailer is coping with it.
Yeah.
And messing with the inmates.
And messing with inmates.
Jill is the prisoner.
Jill, you're the prisoner to his...
I'm one of the prisoners to his jail guard.
Okay. Yeah. Now, how many roles do you play?
Oh, I don't know, eight or so.
Yeah.
We're an ensemble. And we're all playing multiple roles. As Dato said, there's about 18 scenes, and there's lots of dying. So
this is really funny. It's like because it's so absurd, there's no like straight plot line or like protagonist or any of that. Uh-huh. It's always funny to try to explain it to friends.
I remember the first time I read Jack or the Submission. I read it and I was like, what the hell was that? But then like when we get into the rehearsal process and we got on our feet and everything, it makes total sense to me now.
Yeah. That's what this was. This didn't make sense for a while. But like Dato knew she saw it, but like, we didn't see it for a while. And then like we saw it and we're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, previews hit and we're like, okay, yeah. I see what we're doing now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just want to quickly, this is the synopsis that has been provided. Maybe you guys can. A town beset by plague and the bodies are piling up along with moral accusations, political implications, and medical speculations. We peer into households and down many streets as people search for any logic to the ceaseless barrage of death. One of Ionesco's last plays. Oh, really? It's one of his last plays?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Killing Game is a piercing and frighteningly funny look at how the function of language and the panic surrounding social crisis sends a community into a chaotic state of paranoia, hypocrisy, and opportunism. That sound about accurate?
Yeah. It's a classist play.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely classist. It's not pondering existence. It's really a laser eyeball, hairy eyeball.
It's looking. It's like watching an ant farm, and like you've set it on fire, and you're just watching, and you're just watching the ants. The ants have an hour and a half to figure it out, and then maybe they do.
That's a great analogy, man. Yeah. That is a great analogy.
Here's what else I really like about our production. That's kind of I think unique. We in this, you know, Ionesco writes these really funky stage directions, and in Killing Game he writes sometimes they might be singing, or he'll say it might be like an opera here, and so we took a cue from that, and I hired a wonderful composer, and I had her write a lot more music than is, so a lot of the text is delivered by Michael Shannon, and a lot of the text is delivered in music, so it's not, I wouldn't call it a musical, and the form that she brought to it was new music.
Mm.
And some of the music's pretty unusual, but it really fits the piece.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great.
Michael Shannon sings a little bit in this too.
Oh yeah, well,
just like a little bit.
Well, he has played Elvis, so
amazing.
I did not know
who,
that.
Who was? Well, I'm sorry.
I did not know that.
Oh yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. Was the Elvis and Nixon?
Yeah. Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey played Nixon.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if he can we talk about that?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Who have some of the other actors in the show? Let's get
Lance Baker.
Good old Lance Baker. How's he doing?
Very good. He's so funny.
Yeah.
He's very, very funny in this. He does a million roles. He dies every time. Doug Vickers.
Doug Vickers.
Good. Very, very good.
Ashley Neal.
Ashley Neal's important because she's who brought me the play.
Oh, she did?
Uh-huh. In 2015. Yeah. And there's actually a fifth grader.
Wait, is this Jerry Halava's daughter?
No, that's Maya Lava.
She's
15.
Oh, she's a teen now. Yeah,
so we have a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old in the show.
Yeah, yes. Catherine.
We have Jerry Halava's daughter, Maya, but we also have Keith Kupfer and Tara Mullen's daughter, Catherine, who is 11 years old.
Okay, I just have to ask you this. How do you deal with children with this kind of material?
She is top of her game than half of the adults in that room.
Yeah.
You gotta see her do it.
You have to see her. She's fierce. I feel like she's a 40-year-old trapped in a tiny person
she
body.
She guts London
That's
Shannon
amazing.
With a knife. She's...
Yeah,
bloody as hell. By the end,
we had a 4-year-old in Among the Dead. She played a zombie ballerina, and she got to eat people and stuff.
Yeah,
and she was fantastic. Like her entrance was amazing. Like everybody went because they put on bad zombie makeup. She's wearing an old bloody ballerina costume, and her first entrance, she just goes and comes out. She's like 4, and she completely stole the show.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. So that sounds like a great cast.
Yeah, it's a great cast. Catherine plays a lot of the older women. I like that she's very young. She plays the oldest people.
And there's like Angela in London. Yeah. Dano. Andreas.
Angela, Elise.
A lot of people in the show.
Oh my God.
It was like 13 total. Did you know that? Did you know you wanted 13 people in the show?
No, I wanted 10.
Oh.
We went to 12 and then we had 13. We went to 13 because we really needed a soprano in order to get scene 9.
We have a ringer.
We got
do you?
We have a couple of ringers.
We got an opera singer. True. We have an actual professional opera singer.
Yeah, Sarah's legit opera.
Like, there are a couple of ringers in there that like that make all of us seem like we
Andreas
can,
is a beautiful
that
voice.
We can sing.
Wow. Yeah, Andreas Enriquez.
That's amazing. Yeah. Wow, this sounds crazy good. Killing Game, Eugene Ionesco, and it's June 23rd. It goes through June 23rd. aredorchidtheater.org, aredorchidtheater.org for more information. You got anything on coming up? I mean, I know you're not announcing the season or anything, but...
Yeah, I don't want to announce the season.
Okay. Sherman, were you working on anything? Are you doing stand-up? Any of that kind of stuff with your free time?
Yeah, I just did a set at Laugh Factory. I think I'm doing... I was just at... I don't know the specific dates, but Steppenwolf, they're doing like a special comedy night at some point in July, and I'm doing stand-up at that.
Yeah. You like stand-up?
I do like stand-up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than improv. I've done both. It's different than
a different thing, and sometimes I feel like stand-up informs the improv and vice versa.
I agree.
But like... I feel like in general, it's nicer if you have the improv first than the stand-up, because you're more selfish.
I'm with you.
there's that selfish side that like comes out.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now I'm with you on that. I think there's something to that. Jill, you working on anything? Are you writing?
Yes, I'm writing. After this, I'm going to Iceland by myself, and then I'm going to meet my family in Ireland. So I'm on a vacay mode after this for a little bit, and then I'm back to writing.
Then you're back to writing.
A pilot. Yeah.
Cool. Iceland, huh?
Yeah.
Do you like to travel by yourself?
This will be my first time traveling solo abroad.
Okay.
But I do travel. I try to go on a trip every year.
Yeah.
To out of the country.
Yeah.
While I have knees that can handle the flights.
That's true. That's very true. I've only been overseas once, and it was Ireland.
Oh, okay.
And it was the best trip I've ever gone on in my life.
Beautiful.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's No, I went with my ex-wife. Thanks. On our honeymoon.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm kidding. But no, I didn't. No, I'm not kidding. We did actually go together, and it was for our honeymoon. And it was, it's magical. That place is just it's beautiful. I mean, you know, it was kind of life-changing. You know, and we were there for over 2 weeks, and we went from Southern all the way up to Belfast and everything in between.
West Coast,
that's cool.
Yeah.
I've been to Scotland. I don't
love
know.
He's Scottish, my producer.
Oh, nice. I've been to Edinburgh. Is that
for the festival?
Yeah, Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So cool.
I love
so
this.
Cool.
That city's so beautiful. The architecture.
It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like cobblestone winding up and down streets and then colorful.
Look at how he's grinning ear to ear as you guys talk about
Edinburgh. All peak.
Yeah.
Grape. I love it.
Please continue.
Do they still, have you heard of a place called Greg's?
Dude, did you have the sausage roll?
Yes.
This guy's been
to Scotland. I'm like, Greg's? And they're like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, you've never been to Scotland.
You don't know Greg's, you don't know Scotland. Where's Greg's? Is it Edinburgh?
Yeah, it's like a little chain. It's a little chain, but they have like sausage rolls for like 50 pence or something like that. I don't know what the rates are.
You know, that's, by the way, that's mentioned in Craigie Ferg's book.
Oh, he talks about Greg?
Yes, he does.
Of course he does.
Craig Ferguson has a new book out, and I worship Craig Ferguson.
He's so good.
And so his new book is fantastic, and it's just a whole bunch of musings and monologues and stuff, and it's really beautiful. And he talks about Gary's.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's great. So why'd you choose Iceland?
Because I thought it was a good place to choose to go as a solo female.
Oh,
yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
That is smart. That is actually smart. They have very little crime there and a lot of artists.
Yeah, they have like hostels that are just like all female rooms and stuff like
that. My ex-traffic person, Esmeralda Leon, a couple of years ago went to Iceland and just came back raving.
Their tourism is really picking up.
Yeah. She said it was beautiful.
It's crazy expensive there, though. Their rates compared to the dollar.
I do think it's important to travel alone, though. I really think that's you're going to like it.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
Well,
especially because then I'm going to be stuck with my family for a week in Ireland.
No,
I'm preparing. I need my alone time first.
How big's your family?
Well, just my immediate family, but they're big personalities.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds like you guys are having fun doing this show. It sounds like you guys are having a good time.
It really is hilarious and super fun. And it's like once it's moving, it's a fast ride. And, and I highly suggest you come see it if you've never.
It's like a burning ant farm, right, man?
It's like a burning ant farm.
All right.
Does that
very cool.
Make you see it?
Yeah. It makes me want to see it.
All right. Good.
Well, it's nice to meet you, man. It was great to see you too, man.
Yeah.
It was
so
good to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Say hi to everybody in the theater world that I miss.
I will.
There's not a lot of them, but. Say hi to him. Killing Game by Eugene Ionesco plays through June 23rd, Thursdays and through Saturdays at 7:30, matinees Saturday and Sunday at 3, aredorchidtheater.org. That was fun, you guys. Thanks for so much for coming down.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up next.